Amen. That's good. You can be seated. Praise the Lord. Well, I learn a lot when I come over here. I never knew I was still a world record holder, but praise God. It's good to be. Aren't you glad you're here? I've enjoyed everything so far. And I want you to take your Bibles with me tonight and turn with me to 1 Samuel, very familiar text of Scripture. Been used many times in conferences with a youth emphasis, but I'm asking the Lord to help us tonight and show us some truth that will help us in an hour of apostasy. We've never been in such an hour of apostasy that we're in tonight. A way of drifting and turning away from truth, and how we need revival and God's help. Appreciate Dr. Treber and the stand that he's taking, not just presently, but the stand that he's took in the past. And I say long live Dr. Jack Treber. And I appreciate the way it's appropriate here. Everything's done appropriate. I like his fun time, but you preachers ought to catch on to this stuff, how he started gearing it down with some congregational songs. And then when it got time for preaching, had a good quartet sing that. That's called church music, by the way. You pastoral theology majors, look up in here a minute. Look, that's called church music. What we've heard tonight was church music. If it starts off, that ain't church music. It don't belong. And what we've heard tonight's been Christ-honoring and old-fashioned. Those girls got to singing those a cappella songs. I felt the Lord on it. And it's good. And we're going to have a good time these days. Let me say that if you're here tonight in this atmosphere, the early part might not ought to bother a natural man. What we've enjoyed, we can enjoy that in the world. We are in the world, but we're not of the world. I'm saying if you're lost in here, you've never been saved by the good grace of God, you're probably going to be in the most conducive atmosphere the next 3 days that you're ever going to be in to be saved. And the hour is late. The sun is setting on the age of grace. And I wouldn't mess around here. If the Holy Ghost were to draw me tonight and I felt the convicting power of the Holy Ghost, I'd get saved tonight so fast it'd make your head swim. Don't wait. Jesus could come while we're in this meeting. In such an hour as you think not the Son of Man cometh. And he's coming again. And so if you're not saved, you get saved. And young people, do your best these hours. We got God's men here. And work at listening. When it gets preaching time, enjoy all that fun. And I mean, just shout it out, have a good time. Then when it gets preaching, I'm taking your Bible and give you undivided attention. Listen what God has for us. And I want to help you. Our Heavenly Father, I come to you this evening, and I stand where the arm of flesh has failed me. I make no apprehension to try to stand here without your touch, without your fullness, without an unction. And Lord, we're in a crucial hour, this Laodicean church age. The sun is setting on this age of grace. We're looking for the blessed hope just any day. And that remnant that this skit, this program pictured, how we need a remnant that would stand. There's always been, in every generation, those that stood. And I pray you'd raise up amongst these young people here on this West Coast in these next few days. Revive us again, that we could stand in a day of adversity. You said stand, and having done all to stand. It is a warfare. Ephesians 6 talks about a spiritual warfare. And Lord, I pray this very hour you'd strengthen the things that remain. And help us now. Help preachers that are here. Help young men that are here. Help young ladies that are here. Laymen, strengthen us, Lord. When we leave this meeting, we leave here with an intensity to serve you like we've never had. Help us to finish the course with joy. For we ask it now in the name that's above every name. And may long live old-time religion until you come again. Amen. You all know the story of 1 Samuel 16. How many think you know without looking? This is about who? Oh, that's weak. I thought y'all were Christian school people. Let's start. That's weak. Somebody help me. 1 Samuel 16 is about who? Oh, man. Let's try it one more time. Let's all get involved. 1 Samuel 16 is about who? This shirt tail got to come out, praise God. If I'm going to preach like this, I'm going to preach all the way like this. Everybody all right? I feel naked without a tie and a suit. Somebody say amen. I do have my clothes on, don't I? Look up in here. First Samuel 16 is about who?
David.
About who's it about?
David. Okay.
It's about David. David. About David. You know the story. God's looking for a man. The nation of Israel was satisfied to find and use the choice of man over the choice of God. Let me say, it's all about choices. And they made bad choices, and Saul was anointed because that's what man wanted. But God wanted another one. He wanted a David. And he sent Samuel, the prophet of God. And you know the story that brings us up to about verse 13. Or chapter 16, verse 13. It tells us the story of the selection process. The brothers of David, they were tall men and men of stature and men of accomplishment and age, mature men that were acquainted with life and success. And so when they marched them by, y'all know the story, and the Lord kept telling Samuel, not him and not him and not him. And finally he said, is there anybody else left? And Jesse said, well, this is in the originals. Is everybody all right? This is in the original autographs. Jesse said, well, there's one out yonder in the field. He's a country boy. And he probably wouldn't make a good leader. And in fact, I don't know. And he said, well, go fetch him. That's King James talk. That's not hillbilly talk. Somebody help me. That's Bible. He said, well, go fetch him. And so they brought him in. And the Bible said in verse number 12 that he sent and brought him in. And now he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look on. And the Lord said, arise and anoint him, for this is he. And then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointing. By the way, notice, young people, watch me. A horn of oil. When Samuel, the great prophet of God, anointed Saul, he used a vial of oil. It represented a limited reign. What you do in the flesh is limited. What you do in the arm of your flesh, what humanism promotes is a limited thing. There is a way, the Bible said, that seemeth right unto man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. It's short-lived. You got your way, you know, well, the Bible said, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understandings. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. And this was a picture. Saul was a picture of man's way, man's choice, what pleased man. But it was an anointed with a vial. When they anointed David, King David took a whole horn of oil. What they were saying was, this is going to be a lengthy reign. This is going to be a blessed reign. I'm putting my approval on this man. And notice what he did. He anointed him with oil. There's a lot of that word anointing has become a popular word in the last decade among the charismatics, among the secular type religion. And by the way, I'm a biblical fundamentalist. I think it was Brother Justin Cooper tonight said fundamental somewhere. When I hear that, I just want to say, oh yes, I'm a Bible believing Baptist. When I say, here's some words this week we got to get on. When we say Bible-believing Baptist, everybody just, oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
I'm a Bible-believing Baptist.
Oh, yes.
I'm a Bible-believing Baptist.
Oh, yes.
Right here's a good, I'm a biblical fundamentalist.
Oh, yes.
Everybody say, oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
I'm a biblical fundamentalist.
Oh, yes.
I've been attacked recently, you know, it wasn't my wife either, it was somebody else, but in recent days, oh, why do you always have to say fundamental? Why don't you say fundamental? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. That's why I say it. Hey, I come in here old-timey, I'm going to leave out of here old-timey. Amen, everybody okay? Y'all stay with me, young people. We're biblical fundamentalists. Oh, yes, man. It's the real deal. It's the real deal. And he anointed, but this modern kind of stolen that word anointing from us. They use it all the time, you know.
That's right.
It's become just a popular religious term.
Yes, sir.
But there was a divine purpose that was connected to an anointing. Divine purpose. All right? On three, divine purpose. One, two, three. A divine purpose is a big old deal. A divine purpose in the balcony. A divine purpose is a big old deal. Oh, y'all are weak. Are y'all homeschooled? You got to ask your mama first. Look up in here. A divine purpose is what kind of deal? All the girls, a divine purpose is what? Come on, boys.
Come on,
boys. What kind of deal is a divine purpose? It's a big old deal. But we don't hear much talk about it. All we hear in this modern me-ism generation is about a personal agenda. It's all about an ego, what I want to do, and all about a legacy. Some of our leaders of days before have weakened down to put all that, but leaving a legacy. Sounds like Obama to me. Somebody help me. It ain't about a name on a building. It's about a divine purpose. Something bigger than you are. And the anointing of God, when Samuel and those old prophets of old, when they anointed a man, when they anointed an individual, it was connected to big things. Not little bitty boundaries of a nation. It was broader than that. It's a big deal. What kind of deal? It's a big old deal, man. Big old deal. And so David is getting anointed to do something major. He speaks to influence not only a nation, but humanity. Hey, you're holding a Bible in your lap tonight because of something David was involved in. It's big. It's huge. And so he's anointed. Now, as he's anointed, notice verse 14, but the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. But what happened when old David got anointed with oil? The Bible said Samuel took the horn of oil, he anointed it in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David. From that day, what's the next word?
Forward.
From that day forward. Let me say that the Holy Ghost, the power of God, and God on a individual, God on a church, God on a generation. Hey, it doesn't have to be contemporary. Just the word contemporary, it's a compound word. Part of it is temporary. Calm is get your attention, calm, commercial. The prefix means to grab your attention, temporary. It'll only do for a little while. Amen. It's just good for a limited time, kind of like an anointing of a vial of oil versus an anointing of a horn of oil. He said he's going to be filled with the Holy Ghost and have the power of God on him from that day on. That's what it said. From that day on. I want to preach with the help of the Holy Ghost tonight. Subject: what happens when God gets on a generation? God got on him. That anointing was the approval. It was the approval of God's man, Samuel. Samuel, God's servant. And he put his approval, he laid his hands on, he anointed him with oil. He said, this will be the next leader. Now watch it. And from that day on, from that day forward, the Spirit, big O-S Spirit. You know, that's God the Father, that's God the Son, that's God the Holy Ghost. Everybody say God the Holy Ghost.
God the Holy
Hey, look at me. Don't be nervous now. That's who he's talking about, the Spirit of God. Now watch it with me and pray for me while I try to preach. What happens to somebody? What happens to a young man? What happens to a youth department? What happens to a local New Testament Bible-believing autonomous Baptist, amen, independent fundamental missionary, hey, Baptist church? What happens to them when God gets on them? There is a difference between the crowd that God's on and the crowd that he's not on. There's some evidence. Bible said that first church at Jerusalem, when the Holy Ghost came in, they spake the word of God with boldness. Said, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and uttermost parts of the world. There is some evidences. There's some evidences you got saved. You know, growth is natural. You say, how do you know that you've been born? 340 something pounds of evidence up in here. Yeah, man, I got proof. I hunger, I thirst. Hey, man, there's evidence. And there's evidence of the full. I'm not talking about a second working of grace, Brother Treber. We're not talking about eradication of the flesh. We're not talking about sinless perfection. But we're talking about the power of God. We've never lived in such a powerless generation. We got to have some kind of class for everything. People can't even get sober on an altar anymore. They got to go to some class. We've undermined the power of God. Help, don't y'all bow your head. I'm not ready to pray yet. Look up in here. Here's what happens. First of all, notice in David's life, chapter 17 reveals the evidences of God being on a generation. First thing, he's in battle over there, and y'all know chapter 17, Goliath shows up, and he's the champion of the Philistines. And the first thing that happens, we find, is there's an understanding perception that accompanies an anointing of God. I mean, they see something. Y'all know the story. David's out in the field, right? Somebody help me. And Jesse says, run, take these cheeses, go see how your brother's fare in the battle. And he goes up there and he's hearing that Philistine defy God, play down the power of God, undermine the power of God. Hey, mock the power of God. Hey, mock the God of Israel. And he said, hey, what's going on here? Well, the Philistines have challenged us, and y'all know the story. And David said, "Hey, man, why don't this is in the ancient manuscripts. This is in the Masoretic text." What he meant to say, what he said was this. He said, "Why ain't somebody done something already? Hey, why ain't somebody done something to this uncircumcised?" Hey, that represents his worldliness. He's not like we are. By the way, hey, everybody toting the Bible ain't like we are. Hey, some of them riding a bicycle and rubber band around their leg, they're a long thing for what we are. Somebody help me now. Y'all all right? Hey, look up in here. Hey, he said, why hadn't somebody done something yet? And then his brother Eliah, you so full of pride. I know what you're doing up here. And this was the word of a young boy, probably 17 years of age. 17 years. By the way, Jesus was doing some pretty good work at 12. He's answering the question of the scribes and the lawyers at 12. He knew something about God. He knew something about what was going on at 12. And this is what he said. Listen to this. Is there not a cause? I mean, is there not a cause? And he says in verse 29, David answered, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? Notice this, to hear me. Hey, we're missing an understanding of the issues of the day. You young people don't even know what's going on. You don't know what the issue is. I mean, we're so ecumenically geared. We're trying to find ways to get along with everybody. There's some of y'all out here, you'd invite the devil in church. Don't tell me he don't come to church. He comes to every one of our business meetings. Somebody say amen.
Last time I went in one of our business meetings, there was frisking people in our foyer, patting people down. I went in, the deacon was patting me down. He said, "You got a gun or a knife, preacher?" I said, "No." He said, "You better get one before you go in that meeting in there, praise God." Y'all stay with me. And we missed the issue. We've got young people who don't even know why they are what they are. I'm an independent, fundamental premillennial. I'm using terms that I'm talking to seniors from Christian schools who don't even know what pre-tribulation rapture is. But I got bus kids that know. I mean, to the God be the glory. That's not prideful talk. I'm just telling you, hey, they don't even know the issues of the day. They don't know the beat of a wrong music. They don't know the what. They don't know church sound from the world sound. I'll tell you what happens when anointing comes on you. You'll be able to distinguish the problems. Look up in here. Hey, everybody can't be right. This kumbaya, let's hold hands. Look up in here. Either they're right and Dr. Treber's wrong and Seidler's wrong. How come they always want all this liberal-leaning crowd wants to polish the tombs of the prophets? The dead ones. They champion the dead ones. They have a day for the dead ones, but they won't have a day for the live ones. In fact, they don't even want to mention his name. They don't want to honor his influence. They want to they like you from a distance. I tell you what, because they don't know the issues. Some of y'all need to understand there's some issues going on. Who we are, what we do, what we believe. Is there not a cause? Amen. I'm a Bible believer. I'm a Baptist. Well, Mom and Pop, why are you a Baptist? Well, Papa and them. We've always been one. Well, if it was wrong, I'd change. If I thought there's anything closer to the New Testament church than what we're in right now, I would get out of here and try to talk everybody else into getting into it. There is a cause. It's a divine purpose. It's the will of God. Y'all stay with me. I think I'm losing some of y'all, but I'm going to preach on anyway. I'm talking about, friend, hey, is there not, we're missing, hey, this pile, this crowd. It has no touch of God, has no anointing. They don't see anything wrong with anything. Been professing Christ for 40 years, still dressing like Madonna. Lady Gaga, Hannah Montana. Been saved 40 years. I just don't see anything wrong with it. Well, you ain't been touched you ain't been anointed. You get anointed with the Holy Ghost, you get a perception that changes. You start seeing something wrong with some things. Amen. You start seeing something right with some things. Hey, you start seeing the way to do things. You start seeing the way not to do things. Everybody can't be right. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Look up in here, young people. Hey, look up in here. You can't have it both ways. You get touched. You get anointed. A generation that gets the power of God on them, they recognize the issues. That's why our forefathers in the early 60s withdrew from the Southern Baptist Convention, because they saw that there's an issue of ordaining women deacons. Bible said if any man desires the office of bishop. Amen. There's an issue of messing with the text of Scripture and making a Bible just to suit what you want it to say. Oh yeah. We've lost a perception of what's right. We've lost it. We don't know what we believe. Be ready always to give an answer for the hope that's within you. You start asking, I was at one Bible college. I said, "Well, when did you get saved?" Honest to God, he looked at his mom and said, "Mama, when did I get saved?" It's a sad day. Listen, young people, when you got to ask your mammy when you got saved. Let me just say something. If you got to ask your mama when you got saved, I don't no more believe you're saved than a jaybird. And tell your mama I said so. Amen. There's something wrong somewhere. We've lost our perception. When you get touched with the power of God, when a generation, hey, gets empowered and anointed of God Almighty, they'll start seeing some things wrong. There's an understanding perception. Now, jot this down. It's all introduction. I'll get to preaching in a minute. I want you to notice not only that, but there's an unleashing of power. In chapter 17, here's a young boy. He's taking care of the sheep. Y'all know the story. The challenge comes from the Philistine champion. And Saul said, man, you're in no position. You're in no shape to take on that giant man. And he said, but hold up a minute. I was out there tending my daddy's sheep one day, and a big old lion come in there. And I whoop that lion with my bare hands. And hold up a minute. That bear come in there. Do you understand a bear's grip? There's more strength in a bear's grip, one-arm grip, than the body of a man. And he said, I went in there, and man, I was keeping the sheep. Look at it, verse 33, 34. He said, David said unto Saul, thy servant kept the father's sheep. There came a lion and a bear, and he took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him. He didn't wait for him. He went out. He was on the offense. And I went out after. Boy, I like that. And he said, I went out after him. And the Bible said, hey, and he said, I went out after him, verse 35, and I smote him, and I delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him, and he slew him, and I slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord hath delivered me out of the paw of the lion. The Lord hath delivered me out of the hand of the bear. You know, we've got a powerless generation. When you get anointed, he talked about yield to the fullness of the Holy Ghost. Desire to be filled with the Holy Ghost and be different from the norm, it unleashes a power. It unleashes a power that's out of this world. He recognized he can't whoop no lion by himself. He recognized as a young boy, Brother Mark, ain't no way he can whoop a bear by himself with his bare hands. He said, the Lord delivered me out of it. Y'all so powerless now, this generation. Don't get mad at me, but I just got to tell you. I mean, now they came on headline news. I was sitting in Dallas waiting on the connecting flight, and now they're so powerless that some of these kids are, they call it addicted to gaming. And that they call it a psychological disease, that you're crazy. What we say in Tennessee, we don't say you're psychological, we say you're nuts. You done gone crazy. You've lost your ever-loving mind. Y'all can't even control your cell phone. You're so powerless. You're powerless over your mind. You're powerless over your mouth. You're powerless over your manners. You're so addicted to that phone. It's under God. It's sickening. You're powerless. It controls you. It controls you at social media. Hey, somebody say amen. Hey, some of you blessed fired preachers won't say amen, because all I do is hear about you on there all the time. You're just as controlled. And you preacher's wife, God help you. You live on that thing. I don't know when you wash dishes and cook and clean the house. You're powerless over, you're powerless. But when there's a fullness, there's a power of God that accompanies that anointing of God. There's power to restrain. The love of God constraineth me. I can do all things. There's power not only to restrain, but there's power to respond. I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. Come out from among them, be ye separate, thus saith the Lord. That's restraining power. And I'll receive you, and I'll be a father unto you. And my sons and daughters, saith the Lord God Almighty. But we got a generation so powerless. No Holy Ghost. The flesh lusts against the spirit. The flesh wins. When you get touched and anointed, when a generation, when some young men in this youth department, hey, when a man of God gets touched, he's not controlled by that stuff. We're powerless.
Everything defeats us. Well, everybody makes mistakes. Everybody has those days. Well, I was mistreated as a child.
You ought to have been born in 1961. I bear in my body the marks of being mistreated as a child. Last time I got my daddy whooped me, last time he whooped me was with a fan belt off an 8N red belly Ford tractor. I go through the metal detector at the airport and it beeps because of the stuff. Hey, steel off that belt. Is everybody okay? It ain't no bad knee, bless God. I got my hind end tore off. Somebody help me.
I've never seen it like it is today. I mean, everybody's so weak. You do things, everything's done so lethargically.
Don't get mad, but some of you boys are so slow putting that suit on, I couldn't take it.
You mean you didn't want to win?
If that suit had to fit me, I'd have jumped up here and showed you how to put the thing on.
What's wrong, man? Everything's half shod. Everything's lethargic. Everything just
enough to get by. Just marking time. Powerless. He said, the Lord delivered me out of the hand. Hey, I'm going to tell you something. God can use you. God wants to use you. Hey, God needs you. It's amazing to me. There's a donkey tied when he's riding into Jerusalem. And he told those two disciples, you'll find a donkey and a genet tied, an ass and a colt. And said, when you get up there, if anybody says one word to you about taking them, tell them the Lord hath need of them.
If the Lord needs a donkey, don't you think he needs you? What a privilege to be needed of God. Unleashing a power. There's an unction that's present when you get that anointing. You don't have to wear a sign, I love Jesus. I'm not against bumper stickers on cars. I just don't, I think it's tacky. I got a right to my opinion. So I ain't going to pay no $40,000 for a pickup truck and put some tacky sticker on the back of it. Somebody help me. Y'all do what you want to. My sister Kay, she put a sticker on her, said, honk if you love Jesus. She put a honk if you love Jesus. And she pulls up to a red light, and she saw one of them. It's in front of one, a car right in front of her, said, honk if you love Jesus. Well, she had to honk, and so she honked. The man jumped out of the car, run back there, and started knocking on her, cussed her out. And she's just crying. She said, I'm so sorry. Your bumper sticker said, honk if you love Jesus. He said, oh. He said, I'm sorry, that was my wife's car. I borrowed her car. Blame it on your wife. Somebody say amen. There's an unction that's present when that anointing comes on a generation. Our previous Baptist forefathers were marked by an outward unction. Preachers looked like preachers. They didn't look like golf ball. They didn't look like golf ball knockers. Help me now. They didn't look like Tiger Woods all the time walking around. You could identify God's people. There was an outer unction. There was an inner unction. There was a joy. On the end. The joy of the Lord's our strength. We've lost our joy. We've lost our shout. We've lost our praise. Hey, we're so mechanical now. Because there's no unction. I mean, people, they had to work up tears. Tears are still biblical. Hey, Professor Dr. Bottle Stopper, tears are still tears. Hey, doctor, tears are still scriptural. Psalms 126:5, he that sows in tears shall reap in joy. And he that goeth forth and weepeth and bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with. No weeping, no reaping. We've got so mechanical now, we're almost embarrassed of tears. I was sitting by a preacher one night, and Tennille was singing at our church, and she was singing, like a mother holds her baby. Kind of sounded like Martinez's daughter, She wants to be like her when she grows up. Somebody say amen.
She got to saying it, and this preacher said, I mean, if I said his name, everybody would know. And if I feel like saying his name, you better believe I will. Hey, you ain't putting no bit in my mouth. But he sat by me, and this is what he said. Everybody's getting happy. And he started crying, Brother Justin. And that preacher leaned over, and you know him real good. He said, Brother Hudson, you'll have to excuse me. I'm overcome with emotion. I said, we call it getting happy. You know, we got Bible for that. You give me all the Bible you got for not praising the Lord. You give me all that Bible you got, and let me see how many verses you got. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. We're so restricted. Amen. We've got so restricted. We've lost our inward unction. We can't even get happy anymore. We can't even enjoy our Christianity. It's become hard on us. It's so hard serving the Lord and everything. I had to go to church Wednesday night. Like, what are you, a martyr? The expectations are so high on Christian ladies. Ma'am, look at me. You could have been born a Muslim. Walking around here like a ninja. Somebody say amen. It ain't that hard. The way of the transgressor's hard. I was glad when they said a psalmist said, praise God. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I like church. You know why you don't like church? You ain't got no anointing on you. You know why you're ready to get out now and you're miserable and you liked all that other stuff but you can't take this? Hey, you're a long way from an anointing. I like it. I like it long. I like it loud. Well, Brother Sammy Allen will come to our church and say, Brother Tony, I really like that choir. Wish you'd turn it up a little bit. I like it loud. I like to hear preaching. Amen. Praise God. I feel like saying, Mark, help me now. Hey, man, Troy, help me a little bit. I'm talking about, friend, where's your unction? David was different. He was different in sorrow. He was different in shame. He was different in sin. He was different in success. There was an unction about him that was evidently different than everybody else. Amen. Where's that at in our movement? It's gone. It's all mechanical. Get under a burden. We got so many people so highly medicated. Come in church, man. You know, this opioid problem is mainly Baptist deacons' wives. They go, oh. I'm under such a burden for my family. I'm going to have to pluck out a tear here. I remember a generation on Sunday night after church, you could go and get a restaurant after church on Sunday night around Atlanta, Georgia. And I'm talking about several Bible, they'd look like mascara just running down women's cheeks. I'm not making a joke. I'm talking about look like plowed furrows. It ain't just waterproof makeup that's the problem. It's these dry hearts is the problem. No burden, no unction. You got lost grandkids on their way to hell. You got lost children. You got lost friends. Some of you got lost friends. Hey, you've been going to school with for 10, 15, 10, 12 years. Hey, and they're on their way to a devil's hell. And they're going to crawl the charred walls of the damned. But hey, there's no unction. There's no concern. No burden. Is there not a cause? I look at David, I say, when he got anointed, verse 45, it's interesting to me that he upheld a position. He's over there in the Philistines defying the army of God. He's defying the God of Israel. Look at verse 45. And David said to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the big L Lord of hosts and the big G God of the armies of Israel, whom thou defiest. You've defied our God. Look at me a minute. It's time you get filled, you get anointed, you will defend the faith. Either you're a contender or you're a blessed God pretender. Earnestly contend, fight the good fight of faith, endure hardness as a good soldier, put on the whole armor of God, and having done all to stand, stand therefore. We got such weak, anemic, powerless young people, they couldn't blow the fuzz off a peanut. Somebody help me. Watch me, stay with me. But when you get that unction, when you get that full, when you get that anointing, you uphold the position. I believe there's a consecration. There's a courage in upholding. The reason why these liberals and moderates and those that leave our circles, the reason they take these weakened positions is because they don't like conflict. They just want to get along with everybody. The Rodney King religion. Look up in here. Kumbaya, my Lord, kumbaya. What does that mean? As far as I'm concerned, that's talking in tongues. Somebody help me. What in the world is kumbaya? Help me, somebody. I'm King James only. Help me now. Is everybody okay? I ain't put this stuff together yet. I don't understand it all, but I know, hey, there's something wrong somewhere when we won't uphold position, scriptural position. Conversation. How did Bunsar of the mouth speak it? You won't hold it. He talked about the Lord. The Lord. I'm unapologetically old-timey. I'm unapologetic King James. I'm unapologetic for standards and holiness. I'm unapologetic for those forefathers who laid the path. I cannot believe people would be ashamed of their heritage. You ought to read Jeremiah about that heritage. Me and Troy was reading this morning in the airport, waiting on the plane, about the heritage. Oh, Jeremiah said, you blasphemed God. You've sinned against your heritage, and now your heritage is crying out on you. That's why you don't like to get around this old-time religion, because it reminds me, hey, it reminds you how far away you are from truth. Yeah, man. I say Curtis Hudson. I don't mind saying Curtis Hudson. Curtis Hudson, Forest Hills Baptist Church. Curtis Hudson, I like to say Jack Howes, First Baptist Church, Hammond, Indiana. I like to say Harold B. Seitler, Tabernacle Baptist Church, White Horse Road, Greenville, South Carolina. I like to say Mays Jackson and B.R. Lakin. You say, I don't know who you're talking about. Google it, bless God. You ought to know that's the problem. We've forgotten, we buried our heritage only from a day. Hey, look up in here. It ought to be in our mouth to uphold it. He didn't just go up there and put on some kind of a testimonial demonstration. He said something. It's not what we do all the time that bothers these liberals, what we say. My family, some of them's gone the other way. And all I got to do is just call them, where do you go to church? Why do you have to always be so mad? All I've done is ask you where you go to church. I thought we were Christians. Who's your pastor? You've got anger issues. You're not sweet like brother so-and-so. Neither was John the Baptist when he called out sin. Somebody help me. They got his head cut off too. It's preaching time. While ago, I was nervous about it, and now the butterflies just roared. Now they're flying in formation. Somebody say amen. Call it out. Name it. Why you want to skip around? It's called Dr. Jack Treber, North Valley Baptist Church. It's not some anonymous in the third person kind of introduction. He's Dr. Jack Treber. He is fundamentalism on the West Coast. Amen.
I got 5 or 6 more points. My sermons are like a fat woman crawling through a barbed wire fence. A few more points and I'll be through. Praise God. I tell you how we uphold our position, not only in conversation, consecration, but continuation. If it's ever been right, young people, look at Brother Tony right now. Look at me. We serve a God of absolutes. We don't serve a God of situation. Girls, y'all wake up over there. Hey, we don't serve a God of situational ethics. If it's ever been right to do, it's still right to do. If it's ever been wrong to do, it's still wrong to do. He's an immutable God. He's a changeless God. He's a steadfast God. He's a forever the same. He's a yesterday, today, and forever the same God. Malachi 3:6 said, I'm the big L, Lord, and I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. He's always the same. He's a steady God. Yeah, man, y'all ain't listening, but I'm going to finish preaching.
I wish some of you Californian preachers would grunt when I preach. I'm worried about where y'all headed. By the way, it ain't where a man is, it's where he's going. You know, Dr. Treber taught me that. Amen. Dr. Jack Treber. Amen. Preaching time. Don't bow your head when I say that. I'm watching you real close. You say one thing about him in front of me, listen, I'll bust you so fast. You don't think, hey, listen, you say, I can always ask God to forgive me. Somebody say amen. I don't even think he'd mind anyway. Hey, is everybody all right? I ain't through preaching. I'm almost. Thank you, sir. Who said that? Sir, where are you from? Troy, give him $20 before we leave. You know what? An anointing do, it unites the people. Man, what happened? Man, he killed the Philistine. Y'all know the story, verse number 53. Then the men of Israel, Judah, they arose and they shouted. Oh, I know that bothers y'all, but that's what they did. And they pursued the Philistines until they came. You know the story. Man, they started, it rejuvenated the armies of God. Can I help you right here? Your anointing with God, your difference from the world, your division, your separation from the norm, I tell you what it'll do. It will encourage some. And the signs of successful ministry are not always what you attract, but it's what you repel. How many did y'all have last Sunday? How many did y'all run? We don't run anybody at our church. Everybody's heavy at our church. We walked to the mailbox, stopped two times. And, I was coming over here tonight from the ready room, this room, that room, two miles from here. And Brother Treber's just like, you know, trotting. You know, and fit Justin, you know, Mr. Bodybuilder. And I said, hold up! I got to blow a minute. Y'all slow down. How many of y'all run? Hey, man, I'm for numbers now. But it's amazing to me, we just judge success by who puts their approval on us. How many embrace us. I mean, I don't even want to associate with any preacher who has not been kicked out of something. They ain't stood for nothing. If everybody likes them, if everybody embraces them, hey, if everybody, something wrong somewhere with that. Hey, man, if everybody likes you, you're so cool and suave and you're so tactful and you're so smooth, look up in the air. Hey, something wrong with that. The truth is abrasive. Hey, man, they love that some having compassion. Like that compassion is some kind of weakness. Meekness is not always weakness. Hey, man, sometimes when you really care, you'll raise your voice. You'll take a stand. Now, that's all introduction. Y'all think I'm kidding. How are you going to get it? This is all what we need. Everything I preach, we're missing. I'm not preaching what I think. I'm preaching what I know. The growth of these moderates, the growth of this crowd that's distancing themselves from their heritage, they're missing this. They're missing all of this. How are we going to get it then? Real quickly, here's the message. Number one, there was an allegiance to the prophet. Don't you start on me with your little limited knowledge. I'm so sick of these bunch of liberals. They don't even know what the impeccability of Christ is about and talk about shallow fundamentalism. Yeah. You're right. Amen. I'm telling you, and they talk about how shallow. I've been delivered from the shallowness of fundamentalism. Well, let me ask you something. You know it all. You take that priesthood of the believer thing to the utmost like you don't even need a preacher. I thought it said in that New Testament right about it, and he gave some pastors. And what somebody gave us, we ought to take real good care of. We ought to be real, especially who gave it to us. There's a lot of things in my collections at home that aren't that valuable monetarily. I got a pocket knife with a broke blade. I mean, and a little blade's whittled down, just sharpened down. My Papa Crawford, my mama's daddy, give it to me. It's a tree brand, Boker tree brand. And hey, listen to me. It ain't worth $3. But you couldn't buy it for $1,000. At $2,000, I might consider it. As long as you put my son in the wheel. Somebody say amen. You know why? Because who gave it to me? You may not have the respect you ought to have for your pastor right now, but who gave him to you ought to put him high in your estimation. God calls preachers. Churches call deacons. Paul said, I thank my God who had to be faithful, having put me into the ministry. You don't just join up. God calls pastors and preachers. How you treat the gift God gave you. This crowd here, they want to forget their names. They want to act like they had no contact. Want to minimize their contacts. They want to disrespect the investment and spit on the investment that's been made in their lives. Mock them. By the way, the first step to compromise is you associate with known compromisers. Number one. Amen. Boy, y'all got quiet. I ain't through. I was invited to preach here. Start acting like you like this. Amen. Right there. Hey, there was an allegiance. When Samuel came and when Samuel called, old David left his sheep and came right where he was. There's an allegiance. Man, I wish my daddy was alive. Just in fact, I can't believe the disloyalty. If my daddy was alive right now, if he told me to jump, I'd say, how high and where do you want me to land? I wish I could ask him some questions. Man, daddy, what do I do now? You don't know it all, big boy. That reveals your foolishness. Amen, Brother Tony. Boy, I can't, it's getting so quiet in here. Did I cuss? Not yet. Okay, hold on. There's no allegiance. You want it. He had to be allegiant to Samuel. Where you want me to be? Up there, come up on the front porch. Can I say this? It altered his posture. If you're going to get anointed, it'll alter your posture. You don't get anointed standing up prideful. He had to humble himself. He had to get on his bones. He had to get on his knees. That's how they anointed. You know, I need help. I need the previous. And the Bible said, hey, Jeremiah 6, he stands your way to see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and you shall find rest for yourselves. But they said, we will not walk in them. Amen. You really want it? There's an allegiance to the prophet. You really want it? There's an authentic pursuit. I'm so tired of hearing the talk. We just want the power and all this raw power of God, this power, I want this power. And listen, wouldn't even recognize it if it showed up. Extended meetings, but then when another meeting comes up, it's going to make more money. How real is that pursuit? They'll cancel a meeting, man. I can start naming names, and I'm pretty well going to before this thing's over. But all of a sudden, they can leave that meeting for that other meeting. Is it real? Is it a performance? I like the way y'all do everything good around here, but everything ain't got to be professional. Help me now. I like quality. I respect it. That's what I want to be able to do. But there's a difference between quality and profession. There's differing power and polish. Power and polish. There's a big difference. Hey, there's a difference between power and polish, sir. Can I give you this? You really want that? I know we need it. You'll have to activate patience.
You want instant gratification. We live in a society of buy now, pay later. It's immediate. Instant oatmeal. I can't stand oatmeal. Why would anybody want to eat oatmeal when God made a hog? Instant credit. You used to have to earn credit. You used to have to go get a job and show your paycheck stubs. And everything is instantaneous. Some of you boys are going to graduate Miss Bible College. You think you need you a church already with insurance? Jerry Falwell went another way. But I was at Liberty University in 1982. I'll never forget this as long as I live. And it was an announcement. There was no cell phones and such things. But in every one of the pastoral students' boxes, there was an announcement to meet in the chapel at a certain time. Dr. Falwell wanted to meet with us. We got in there, and I'm thinking, man, what's going on? He said, there was a pastor here last week. He was looking for some staff. He was looking to hire some staff. And he said, I don't know who it was, but one of y'all began to negotiate with the pastor, you know, with your resume. With your resume. God help. What's wrong with a preaching tape? Amen. What's wrong with the approval of the church? Had some of y'all, and one of you demanded a certain amount of salary, I think like $20,000 at that time, $20,000 a year with benefits, with health insurance. He said, who was it? I said, thank God it wasn't me. I don't even know what words you're talking about right there, resume. I thought that's something you cooked, a resume, help me. I go, it wasn't me, praise God. He said, because whoever you were, we're buying your ticket back home because you ain't no more called to preach. Now, don't get nervous. Don't get nervous. There's nothing wrong with taking care of a preacher. But when that's your motive and you ain't got enough patience to wait on God and then take advantage of what God does do, ingratitude. Some of y'all been, this is a privilege to get to come to this college. But that ain't enough for you. Oh, David, that's what he did. He waited his turn. He went on back to the field. After cutting that Goliath's head off, he said, I got to go on back and see Daddy. I wonder how many of you are going to be willing. Hey, if you want that anointing, you'll have to wait your turn to be used. Just stand together. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I don't know how much you listen, but I did give you some truth. You can argue with me all you want to, but there's some things missing in this generation. There's some gaps, man. There's some holes. There's some stuff missing. You're not going to get it bypassing your pastor. You're going to have to submit to his authority. Be grateful for his investment. You have to humble yourselves. How many said, Brother Tony, the message was for me? Would you slip up your hand and say that the message was for me? Don't raise it if it wasn't for you, if you wasn't listening or it wasn't for you, but you say, God used it for me. Would you raise it real high? My message was for me tonight. The message was for me. Pianist is going to begin an invitation hymn. These altars are open. Why don't you come? If you raised your hand, say, Lord, I want it. I want to make a difference. David's impact has been eternal. I want my life to make an eternal difference. I don't necessarily need my name to make an eternal difference, but I want my life to make an eternal difference. If you're lost tonight and you're here without the Lord Jesus Christ, you're among friends. We're not your enemies, young people. We want you to be saved. And if you're lost tonight, why don't you go to your youth pastor? Holy Ghost is drawing you and convicting you, and you know right now your heart's beating real fast, and these Christians on this altar, and you know you're not even saved. Why don't you go to your youth worker, your youth pastor, and just give him by the hand and say, I need to get saved. He'll know what to do. Is that you? You're lost and you need to be saved. Holy Ghost drawing you. Is that you, ma'am? Is that you? Is that you, young lady? Is it the Holy Ghost drawing you tonight? Sir, is that you? Serious business. Now, I want you to seek the Lord at these altars and pray and ask the Lord to help you. But I don't want you to do it with some contemporary mind, just some get up and go because we're in here. Why don't you do it with some permanence behind it? Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's meat, and he made an impression on a generation. Y'all just stay in there. Don't just stay where you are just a minute. Don't go back. Just let these others pray a little while. Hey, we won't hurt you to pray a little bit longer. Just stand and pray. If you've prayed enough for yourself, pray for somebody else. Pray for me a little bit. Pray for my son. Pray for my three daughters and my wife. If y'all don't mind, pray for them. My mama. Pray for my family, my sisters, their kids, husbands. If you ain't got nothing else, pray for them. Is there not a cause, young people? Can you see? Can you not see that something's wrong in our churches? The indifference? Man, you better get close to the prophets, what you better do. Rub up on the prophet, stay close to the prophet. Samuel and David had a special relationship. And after Samuel was gone, old David had a good relationship with Nathan. David could take reproof. When old Nathan came to him, David could take reproof. That's why God was on him, because when Nathan said, "Thou art the man." He could take preaching. He could take truth. Amen. Preacher's coming. What page is that, dear brother? 296. We'll sing one verse of it. As we sing it, you might don't quench him. Don't grieve him. Don't resist him. Page 2, join y'all lead, brother. Do your best. Mind the Lord. Sacrifice. He's not looking for a few T-bone steaks and fillets. He wants hide. He wants hair. He wants hoof. He wants it all. Is your all on the altar? Hey, is your all on the altar? Is every bit of it on the altar? You're not going to get that anointing. Hey, you can't halfway come up to the will. You can't halfway. It's called the perfect will of God. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable, unto Him, which is your reasonable service. It's not unreasonable to ask Him ask you to give your all. It's reasonable. Your heart does the Spirit. God help us. Are you lost? Are y'all, in this section over here, are y'all all saved? How many of y'all are saved? Raise your hand. You sure you're saved? Where'd you get saved at, sir? You. At your house. Where was your house? Could you take me and show me where you got saved? What if I came down your row right now and asked you, was you saved? Could you tell me when you got saved? Have you got a place? What about that section in the balcony? How many of y'all saved? Raise your hand, you know you're saved. If I could raise my hand, if I had to, I'd jump out of that balcony to get saved. God help us, Brother Truman.